part two people. I should say part-time people. There's no part-time people here. Only part two people here. Mark and Jay and Trudy News from WCSX 94.7, where she's no longer Trudy News. She's Trudy and Jim.
Reinvented. And I'm like David Bowie that way.
Yeah. It's about another time for another reinvention then, isn't it? Is this the Thin White Trudy phase coming soon?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Trudy Stardust?
That would assume I'm through my Ziggy phase, though.
Actually, I like Trudy Stardust. That sounds kind of cool.
I like that, too. Oh, great idea, Drew. We're, I'm doing it tomorrow.
Excellent. And I know what Mark's doing.
What?
Mark is going to reinvent himself as the guy with all the Michigan tattoos.
I have to get 32 because he has 31.
Yeah, Jay Radigan, we're talking to him in a minute. On part two.
Rad.
Pretty sweet.
Oh, cool. I mean, fits in perfectly with part two with all his tats. And those aren't his only tats either. What other tats does he have? Did it say in there?
Just the ones you covered. I think you did a really good job digging up.
I know he has more tats.
We'll ask him. We'll find out.
Yeah. He did say that his private area is untatted.
Ooh, good. He can do that area next.
I see.
That seems like a waste, because there's a lot of real estate on your butt cheeks.
I want to throw something out there just for S&G. I've been following the Trump and the Lisa Machado story, of course.
Yeah.
It's the biggest story of the whole campaign, practically. And it's, I don't know, I laugh at this. This story to me is one of the funniest things that's happened. I'm sure some people think it's, oh my God, so horrible. She became bulimic and she went through all these horrible things because of Donald Trump and the things he said. But, okay, whatever. I don't know, first of all, if I even believe that. And second of all, I'm stunned that her shitty background, and I mean, this girl, she was banging somebody on TV.
Yeah, hot.
What?
Yes, she fucked someone on TV on Big Brother.
She talked about how great his dick tastes.
What? Wait, before or after?
Muy bien.
Was that before she was Miss Universe?
It was 05.
It had to be after, yeah.
2005.
Well after.
Mm-hmm.
She
was 19.
Was that included in the debate then?
No.
She's not running for president.
But what's interesting is that all of her crap, like she drove the getaway car for a murder.
Yeah, right.
All this stuff, when she was asked about that, was that on GMA when she said, oh, that was 20 years ago?
Today Show, yeah.
She said, oh, that was 20 years ago. And it's like, oh, okay. And she kind of moved along. Isn't the credibility of the person that says, you know, he called me Miss Housekeeping?
Miss Housekeeping.
I still don't believe that because that name's so stupid. I believe Miss Piggy, I believe.
Yeah, well,
Miss Housekeeping,
is,
I don't
but
believe.
But he is on tape saying Miss Piggy and calling her an eating machine.
Well, no, I believe those. He said that yesterday. He said eating machine yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, he said it a while ago, but yeah, they played it yesterday.
And that stuff, I totally believe. Miss Housekeeping, I don't think I believe that because it sounds like a dumb name.
It's not very clever.
No, it's not. No. And actually, that's the one they're using to say that this is his discrimination against Latino women, calling her Miss Housekeeping.
Right.
But, I mean, they want so desperately to turn this into racist something in addition to sexist. Isn't sexist enough?
Yeah.
Racist, too?
Yeah, plenty.
But isn't,
I'm sorry about that.
isn't her stupid background significant in this story?
I would think
Why?
So.
I mean, he's on tape calling her those things. What else needs
he
to be said?
Well, the eating machine and that stuff, but she was Miss Universe.
Yeah, no, that's what he's doubling down on today.
The bosses of Miss Universe said that she's supposed to be a certain weight or she was asked to lose. No, that she was asked to step down.
I mean, he's being a hero now because he saved her job as Miss
Universe.
Well,
yeah, he was a hero because she was going to be kicked out and he said, well, let's let her work out and, you know, let's stop being an eating machine and see
in front of cameras.
An eating
she's
machine.
A woman that's been very ineffective other than she's got a big mouth.
You really don't think he demeaned her at all?
Well, oh, I don't think he should have said that.
She put herself out there, though, didn't she?
Of course.
By being Miss Universe, yeah, hell yeah.
He shouldn't double down on it now. He should just let it disappear.
No, but I think he, in his own stupid way, he can't help defending himself. That's, I think, probably his Achilles heel as much as anything.
Right, but she imposed herself on this news cycle by allying herself with the Clinton campaign.
And that's why, and she deserves to have her past brought up in that regard.
Yeah, she opened herself up.
Sure.
If you keep yourself private, then he didn't, you know.
Yeah, no, that's
fair. A whole different story.
And yesterday, she even tried to attack me.
I'll defend him on the other thing that they dug up. Trudy and I were watching the news during the break, and was it the Daily Show that dug up that audio?
Oh, yeah.
He's on Don Imus talking about, And they didn't say which one it was, but we figured out it was Deborah LaFave, talking about how hot Deborah LaFave was.
Yeah, a 26-year-old teacher who had sex with a 14-year-old boy. Imus was telling
him. I agree she's hot.
And
they dug up the audio of Trump saying, do you think that kid's going to be scarred? Of course not.
No, he's not going to be scarred.
No, I know. But they're trying to attack him with that now, which is just silly because most people don't have a problem.
That was Trump being like a regular citizen guy. Unfortunately, when you're a politician, this is what's so dumb about politics.
Might get him more votes.
That people don't really act the way they normally act. So we don't really know what they're like. Hillary Clinton, by the way, has a list of women, you know, the bimbo eruption.
Oh,
group,
right. Yeah.
Who she attacked some of those people, or they were attacked by this committee and found, you know, let's find out what all their weaknesses are and let's attack them. Let's take the aggressive position.
Right.
So, I mean, they are the ultimate in terms of how to treat women. Not to mention that they're covering up for someone who has sex with tons of chicks and allegedly assaulted four women. This thing just seems terribly one-sided to me.
Why is she blaming the bimbos when her husband was one who put himself in them?
Yeah.
Because they wanted to win the argument.
I guess.
That's all they care about. For her to act like she cares about women so much, victims of assault, please.
That's
she's
laughable.
Married to Bill Clinton, and she's still married to Bill Clinton. I mean, that is a joke for her to take this position, and the Trump people ought to be just smushing her on this.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, they say now, you know, people are telling him not to bring it up, but of course he will, not to bring up all those women because it makes her look sympathetic to some people.
I don't think that's true at all. Especially because she was so aggressive in terms of trying to shut them up.
Sure. Yeah. But he needs to say that if he's going to bring all that stuff up.
Right. Well, I think it's a better discussion than discussing whether this chick, you know, was 55 pounds overweight or she was 18 pounds overweight or whatever.
Are there photos?
Newt Gingrich, by the way, came out and defended Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
Newt.
Well, he knows how to treat women.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. He does.
Yes, he does.
Well, but he made the same.
Cancer?
He
made this.
I know.
He said this. Yeah, he's a total lump. But
he is a lump.
He really is. But he said the same thing I was just talking about. Was that, you know, Miss Universe is supposed to weigh a certain amount, and if she's overweight, she shouldn't be, and she shouldn't be Miss Universe if she's so paranoid about anybody saying anything about her weight. So I don't know. This thing is just.
I think his reaction during the debate just didn't help it either, though. Where he's like, "Oh, really? Oh, really? Who's this one? Oh, really?"
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
he's
kind
of defiant about it.
Yeah.
Well, I think he knew.
Because
you
know, she never.
Oh, so she's attacking me personally. I think that was more.
I think she realizes that defense that, well, that's kind of her job. I mean, that's why, you know, certain jobs, you're allowed to hire certain genders if it's, imperative to the job. And she knew enough not to say Miss Universe because she knew that people would go, oh, Miss Universe, of course.
Oh, yeah. She says Lisa Machado. Like, this
she
is just
said
some
the
normal,
name.
This
yeah.
person from this poor Filipino woman who's just,
we just picked out of nowhere.
Fighting to get by in the world.
But that's smart of her to not say, well, the former Miss Universe. You know what I mean?
No, it's Weasley.
But if he would have said right then and there, said, no, wait a sec. This was a Miss Universe whose job it was to maintain a certain weight.
Well, that was the worst thing about that debate was,
but then again,
he was not strong on his feet for some reason. And I don't know if it was, you know, he was sniffing all night. I don't know if he was doing blow or if he was old or what.
But, Howard Dean thinks so.
Has anyone
so
responded
weird.
To saying he was on blow?
Because no one cares what Howard Dean has to say.
I guess not. Is Howard Dean just, is he just done? Is he
just
like a
dude.
Citizen now?
Well, he ran the DNC for a while. I don't know if he still works for him or not.
He has a new job. I thought maybe he was a professor or.
Yeah, I think you're right, Trudy.
Somewhere in Vermont, tucked away.
Yeah.
Did anyone even pursue, Howard, are you an expert at identifying cocaine use? Or for some reason you said this?
No one did. But
why
I think,
did that get carried so far? I mean, if he's nobody, and he is nobody, why did that become such a. I mean, it sort of blew up, didn't it?
Yeah, I guess.
I think people thought it would be ridiculous that Donald Trump was doing rails before the debate.
I think that everybody thought it, but nobody thought that anyone would say it. And I bet he has a podcast where he opens it instead of what's popping. He goes, "Blah!"
Does he really?
Yeah, he does.
Hilarious.
He should. Speaking of podcasts, one thing before we call our Michigan Tattoo King. Andy Dick has a podcast, and we learned something very strange on the Andy Dick podcast. First, let's play the audio of our podcast when we were trying to call Andy Dick at the anointed time when he had said on Friday, yeah, call me about now on Monday, and we'll talk. So we called.
Jesus, you've pursued him for so long.
I know, and we called a few times. because he wasn't answering. Probably called too many times. he was supposed to be on. He said to call. It's just weird seeing him try to interview a celebrity who's of his ilk. It's just strange.
Talking about Norm's podcast here.
Andy.
You're getting blocked.
No.
Sorry.
Andy, no. It's Detroit calling. It's Detroit. You said you could call Monday. What do you say?
I don't know. Jay, what'd you do?
You say something, fucker?
Yeah. Yeah, now he's using his call block. What did the Prince call it?
Wait, he's blocking us?
Yeah.
He said we can call Monday.
Jay, you're harassing him too much.
Wasn't it his GTE?
Yeah. It was a GTE call block. GTE cold block.
GTE cold block.
And we were not on his GTE call block. We called him many times after that. Or GTE call block doesn't work. I don't know which. And Andy Dick's call block doesn't work either because we called him too.
Really?
Yeah. I think he has a GTE, obviously. So anyway, we get this email from somebody who's a big podcast listener. And finding more and more people are part of the podcast world. It's like a little network of people. And in fact, I have noticed such a flurry of new podcasts too since we started. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah, the number of celebrities who are starting podcasts, like even Robin Roberts from GMA has a new podcast.
Ooh, what about?
And,
Becoming better.
I'm sure it's so good.
Oh, becoming a great person.
You know, I have Sirius in the car.
Me too.
And I was on the auto pay where they take it out of your credit card. And when we got the chip thing, they reissued all credit cards and made everything you automatic paid null and void. Well, you only take it out quarterly.
They made everything null and
If you have auto pay because you have a new number now.
Yeah, you have a new number. So when whatever it is comes.
I have the same numbers on my chip one.
Yeah, but they only pay.
Ooh, Mark, did you owe me for that?
Yeah.
That was the slimmest I've ever heard.
Change any of your auto pay stuff.
Well, the thing is, like, the ones that you pay monthly, you catch up to that really quickly. Well, this only comes quarterly, and so I didn't. And pretty soon, they're giving me threatening calls and threatening emails. Yeah, serious.
Serious?
Yeah. And
really?
Seriously. And I'm pissed off because I'm like, well, why in the hell didn't you contact me by paper and mail to tell me it wasn't going through? And now you're acting like I'm a deadbeat.
Can I say
so
this?
I'm thinking of canceling and just going, I'm going to call them tomorrow and just tell them, that's screw it. I don't want you. I'll just do all podcasts.
Do you listen to Howard?
Yeah, I do.
No, I do too. I love listening to Howard.
Yeah, that's the only reason I don't care.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only reason I have it. Although college football is nice too, baseball.
Well,
I mean, it's great for sports, not for you.
Comedy.
But, anyway, I had it for Howard was that a year ago? And I lost it. It just went away. And it's like, what the hell? Because I'd overpaid it on my previous card. Right. On my previous car, I had like.
Mr. Overpay. What?
Like 80 bucks.
Yeah, and you turned your car in.
I turned my car in, and I thought, well, I got credit now for Sirius, right?
No, they continue the service.
Yeah, in the same car. The one I'm not in
anymore.
Who's the Joker listening to your service?
Somebody's got your service.
So anyway, somebody's riding around just getting off on Sirius.
They're going, I can't believe this. I got free Sirius for like 8 months.
Sirius
is free, man. It's forever. It's awesome.
I'm afraid to turn my car off because it'll reboot and it'll kick me off.
So anyway, I kept trying to contact Sirius about this because it wasn't just one car. It was two cars.
I know.
They turned in both at once. They both had tons of Sirius time left on them. And then I sent him a check.
Yeah.
I sent him a check to boot. I was like, okay, if this doesn't work, if you don't count any of this additional time on the cars, the least cars that I turned in, then here's a check. It was like for $100. I didn't know how much it'd be. I figured, well, $100 coming for a few months anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, nothing, nothing. And I'm like, what is going on? I mean, and Sirius, try to resolve a problem with them over the phone.
I know.
Good luck.
It could take 7 hours. Your phone runs out of battery.
I predict that you won't resolve it, period, because they just, I don't know if it's the record keeping or what it is, but anyway, I had to start from scratch.
You know what? Here's my theory. I may be right, might be irresponsible, but they keep your old cars, and I'm like, take those old cars off because you might accidentally be applying what I'm paying you for this one on those old ones. Like,
so they can count them as subscriptions.
That's exactly it.
Well, they do that.
So that they can count and say that they have subscriptions. These vehicles.
I don't know if they still do it, but they used to do it. So if you bought a new car, got a new lease, there's a new subscription. And then when you renewed it 6 months later, they counted that as a new subscription. Because it's a new payer.
Oh, okay.
So they're counting one person twice so they can keep saying, hey, our subscriptions are going up, yeah. up.
Yeah.
So their numbers are bound to be way inflated.
Exactly.
I don't know how much life it has left in it, to tell you the truth. I mean, as long as Howard's there, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
But the second he leaves, boo-boo.
See ya.
Yeah,
don't ever break up with them because they're worse than a jealous girlfriend because I don't have it anymore. And twice a week I get something in the mail about rejoining. And I get emails all the time about, we miss you.
No way.
Well, they kept doing that. They
come
kept doing that to me.
$25 for 5 months. Or...
Well, they're viciously attacking me for being late and deadbeat when I didn't even know I owed it. And then today, why don't you get this service? So they're pitching something new at me now that I paid them $12.
Let me guess. It's the radio in your house. The portable series.
Yes. Yeah. 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 Right. You want to get it for your house?
Okay. Get this. I bought the portable radio. Yeah. So it comes. There's no speaker. I'm like, what? So I call him up and I said, did you send the speaker? They said, no. First, extra. Hold on a second. And they come back and they go, no, there's no speaker. I said, how am I supposed to listen to a radio with no speaker? And they're like, hold on. They come back. Like, you have to get a speaker. Like, oh, really?
Wait, does it have Bluetooth on it or what?
I mean, you need to have a speaker for it, whether it's a Bluetooth type speaker, separate, or you can plug one in.
That's ridiculous.
I know. I said, why would you sell me a radio with no speaker?
You know what's funny? Speakers are relatively cheap for the most part. They should just give you that give you some shitty pair.
I know.
That goes with it for customer service angle.
I never got a
satisfactory service.
Because I kept saying, could somebody please call me and tell me what the deal is? Because then they did not tell me. I was more pissed that they didn't say there was no speaker. Because I probably would have just gotten one.
Yeah.
Right.
But I just really was
to be surprised
by the whole
by it.
Thing. Anyway, this detour, we're getting way off track because we want to hear what happened on the Andy Dick podcast, which he had just started. And this is apparently the same day that that we heard him telling us we were fuckers
blocked.
Or stalkers and that we were blocked. Here's what it sounded like on the Andy Dick podcast.
Mm. Are you mad at me?
I'm going to feel like crying.
But are you mad
about
at
the
me?
Microphones, apparently.
I'm just mad at my life. All I have is this, and now I'm not even being picked up on a microphone.
You got picked up.
Turn it around and leave it.
Hey, Jesus.
Just
brilliant.
Turn it around a little bit.
I don't want to. It's
See?
Awful. It's awful.
It's horrible for 40 fucking. Don't even use that first half.
No,
you
we
can't
got
fix
it.
In
there
post.
Was good. He could. Well, we'll listen to it. We'll listen to it. Let's. We'll listen to it.
I can't not belabor on it. I can't think of anything else except how.
You want to stop tape and go listen to it a
little bit?
Right, I know it's not going to work out. It's not. We should just start over. Hey, you don't like it, but it's time to start over.
No.
I'm going to see who the fuck this is.
What?
Hello?
Andy's on the phone right now.
What?
Uh-oh, he's really mad.
You're getting blocked. Sorry. You guys are being fuckers.
Oh, let's see.
Jesus, are they just fans?
I'm just, no, they're on, they put me on the radio. I was like, they keep calling over and over.
On the radio? Really?
Yeah,
about
they're getting
what?
Blocked. Now they're getting blocked.
Mm. What station?
It's in Detroit. I'm so fucking block. They're calling over and over and over while we've been trying to live broadcast this.
Yeah, because you promised
what
to be on
What do they
want to
talk
dick?
About so urgently?
They probably see that we're on
him.
Facebook Live.
Oh.
No, you didn't see that they were on Facebook Live.
He just says no comprehension whatsoever that he promised to be on that day.
Yeah.
That we promoted it all weekend.
Well, that sucks.
Is he using psychology
not,
on
you? We did not
you?
See your Facebook Live, so shut up.
I know. That he's so important he doesn't need your attention, and yet wasn't he just complaining about he had nothing in his life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want any publicity.
He has nothing but his podcast. He could have promoted his podcast on our show. Some more people would listen to his podcast.
Yeah.
But they probably will anyway.
He is a dick.
On his Facebook Live.
Yeah.
That episode, he only had 3 people watching.
He did,
watching?
Really?
Really? No. Really?
Oh, boy. And we were not one of them.
No. He probably doesn't have, I don't know if he's got a real busy Facebook page. You want to check his Facebook page and see if it's
How
fairly
many followers
active?
On Twitter?
I mean, we got a lot of action on our Facebook page. Let there be no mistake about that. Yeah. Joey and Brandon have busted their ass on Facebook. We're over 7,000 now. 7,000 likes. I mean, we started from scratch.
I know.
Two and a half months ago, maybe. That seems like pretty quick action. He has, he's only got 24,000 likes.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay, well, but, I mean, ours is, how old is his? Like 20 years?
Yeah.
He's been on TV.
Yeah, he's a TV star. Wow. We're nobody.
Wow. Well.
Whatever. Even after all that, being called stalkers and him forgetting about our gig on Monday and all the times we had him on before, I thought we had a relationship.
He wishes he had stalkers.
I'm just disappointed. It sucks. I think he was just pissed about his microphone.
I think we'll be fine.
Oh, we'll be fine. Yeah. So I just wanted to repair the damage.
Should we call Norm before it gets around to other comics in Hollywood? quote-unquote fuckers.
Maybe. We should probably call Jay Ratigan first.
Jay Ratigan again?
Yes, Jay Ratigan again has 32 Michigan tattoos.
They're all awesome, too. There's not honestly not a bad one.
That from Mark.
What?
part of the Michigan cult.
The Harbaugh one is sweet. The silhouette of him. The headphones around his neck. Hands on hips. Jawing someone out. That's awesome.
In nose.
No. He's never eaten a booger.
Jim Harbaugh signature on it.
Talking about.
If you want a tattoo of Jim Harbaugh's signature, I guess it's a cool tattoo.
Hey, can I ask you, Trudy, is Jim Harbaugh an attractive man?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I would say the Harbaughs are an attractive
family. What is wrong with you? You're concerned as to whether Jim Harbaugh is considered a handsome man?
Is Frank Beamer an attractive man, Trudy?
Oh, I don't know.
Trudy, he wouldn't be Trudy's type, I don't think.
Oh. What's the new coach from Memphis? What's his name? Ortega?
Justin Fuente.
Is Justin Fuente an attractive man?
All right, well, let me see.
I'm not sure he'd be Trudy's type either.
Why?
I just don't know. No.
Frank Beamer? No.
Beams.
No, Beams is...
might be a little old for you.
He's not even a silver fox, really. So.
Oh. No. He also was in a fire when he was young, and
he's got face scar.
Deformed.
Here's Justin Fuente. Here's a good picture of Justin Fuente.
He's a coach of Virginia Tech's football team, if that means anything. He makes a lot of money.
He's kind of handsome.
Him or Harbs?
In a flinty way.
A Larry Flinty way?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey, is this Jay Ratigan again?
This is.
All right. Jay, how you doing? It's Drew and Mark and Trudy.
Drew, Mark, and Trudy, what's up?
How are you?
Doing great, man.
Good.
We, of course, saw Jim Schaefer's piece on you in the Free Press and your incredible collection of tattoos. When did you get the first Michigan tattoo?
Back when I was 21 years old.
And what was the first one?
The first one was just the block M with the Michigan through the center of it.
Sweet.
And it's got a little gold blue banner underneath it.
Awesome.
It'll be the starter Michigan tattoo, I would say. And then
you always got to start somewhere. You know, there's an A and B to everything.
Yeah.
What about non-Michigan tattoos? Do you have a ton of other tattoos?
No, I actually do have two tattoos that are not related to Michigan.
Only two?
One of them is actually it's an American heart. It's for my wife because she went and got a Canadian heart. So they're kind of like, you know, offset for each other.
Aww.
And then the other one that's not Michigan is, Trudy and Jim kind of touched on it the other day a little bit, my tramp stamp.
What? You have a tramp stamp?
Tramp stamp.
I do.
Is it a bullseye?
We called it a tramp stamp just for locational reasons. Oh. However, it's just a tattoo located in a place that is called the tramp stamp.
And what is it?
It's just a zipper.
Oh.
A zipper?
And no, it doesn't mean it takes you to the promised land at all.
Very interesting. Well, 32 tattoos, that's quite a few tattoos. Is there, when you get that many tattoos, I always feel like, and I hate to be negative, but there's always like one where you go, kind of like, you know, buy a few shirts and there's always one that maybe you don't wear as much as the others. Or if you buy six pairs of pants, which I tend to binge buy stuff because I never really shop.
Just like Harbaugh.
There's always one pair where I'll go, why did I buy those? Is there one tattoo that you go, I kind of wish I hadn't gotten that one?
No. Actually, no.
No.
Told you.
Have some that I like more than others, but no, there's none that I've put on me that I've gone and like, we need to really get rid of that one somehow. So,
what about the marching band drum line? Would you consider maybe doing that one over?
New.
What? No.
No.
Just doing it the first shot was enough. So, There will be no consideration for a cover-up in the future.
Of course.
Okay, how about the years of the champions? I mean, it's just
that's
a year.
That's the best one.
But it's just a year.
That's
I mean,
the
that's
best
all
one
because
you can add to it.
It's a big battle going
that's
on.
That's right.
Okay.
So you we actually kind of left it so, you know, if we add more championships,
when?
We can add more dates.
I when can't
we
add talk them. You what? Out of any of these tattoos.
I do know one
no,
way.
No, it's not. No.
Jay, I do know one way you can make them better, and that's maybe shaving some of the hair, because when you look at these up close, like the one Wolverine on your left chest, it seems really hairy, like actual Wolverine hair.
But I suggested that you shave the hair around it, because its furry little face is adorable then.
That's fine, but I just, I don't know, it makes me realize that I'm looking at your chest instead of a cool tattoo.
Okay, have you ever shaved any part of your body and then had the hair grow back in?
Yeah, my pubes.
Crazy itchy.
Yeah, right.
That's why I do it.
That is a bummer. Well, did you have that experience where you shaved some one particular place and just grew back like so thick it's just a thicket?
Oh, that's funny.
Apparently not. Excuse Hopefully me. Not. Hopefully not.
No.
What about the Jim Harbaugh signature? Have you
that's
thought maybe
awesome.
I don't need this guy's signature? What was I thinking about?
You know, given his like. His history to the school, the fact that he's come back, done even what he's done just in his first year, just the beginning of this one. It was kind of a really easy choice to kind of throw him in there. He's a great leader.
I like the profile.
Overall, I mean, when you see just what he's done as a person, it doesn't even mean for Michigan. He's a very successful person, and it's just easy to kind of just get on board with that And, you know, you want to win, and I'm a winner, and that's what I want to do. So kind of following Harbaugh became pretty easy, really.
Jim, did you say you're a winner?
Well, I try to be.
Yeah.
Tell us, what do you do? How are you a winner? I'm not questioning it. I'm just wondering, what does this guy won? Did you win Olympic gold or something? I mean, how are you a winner? That's all I'm asking.
He's a great guy.
How am I? I'm just a winner by being me.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't have to be anybody else but myself, and just happens to be the fact that I happen to really enjoy and love the Michigan Wolverines, but I don't have to be anybody else but exactly who I am.
Do you have a family?
Yeah,
do you have kids?
Yeah, me and my
He's
wife.
Got a wife.
Yeah, you, me and my wife.
Oh, you and your wife. Okay. Okay. Cool. Just asking. I mean,
where's that Harbaugh tattoo at on you?
That would be on my back, left shoulder blade.
Now, what's on the right shoulder blade? Do you have room for a silhouette of Bo in his signature?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, on my right shoulder blade, mm-hmm. I actually have Gerald Ford tattooed on that
Sweet.
Shoulder blade.
Gerald Ford, wait, he's the president of the United States.
Former All-American center.
Former president. Michigan center, though.
I know.
He was a center back in 32 to 34.
Is the tattoo of him, like, snapping the football, or is a tattoo of him as president?
Yeah, no, it's him when he would have been snapping the ball.
Okay, so he's in his Michigan garb.
Now, what's interesting, though, you got the Harbaugh tattoo, you know, right before I assume right before year two started, but no thoughts of ever getting the Brady Hoke tattoo after the 11-2 2011 season?
No.
Good job.
Like I said, I'm a winner.
Yeah.
But hey, he was 11-2 his first season.
Well, you know, we all had something to rejoice then, but then after, you know, it may have been a consideration then, but. You know, after that, like, it just tanks.
Are there any particular victories of Michigan's that are celebrated? I mean, a specific game, for example, they won that you celebrate on your tattooed body?
Not any specific game or
Woodson.
Nothing memorable, I guess you could say, like that.
That Woodson okay. one looks like the post-Ohio State Woodson when he had the, or is that the interception against Michigan State Woodson because he's got his arm up?
No, that's when he was throwing the number one up in the air after they won the
Ohio
national
State.
Championship.
Oh, okay. See, well, there's
that's right, kind of associated with a game then.
You got to get Desmond Howard laying out for the Notre Dame catch. Like across
no,
your back.
No, he's coming, but he's not coming in the form of the catch. I'm actually going to be doing
a Heisman
tribute
yeah.
piece.
Oh,
so
wow.
He's going to be in there mixed in with Woodson and Harmon. So.
And Harmon, sweet. And then Jabril this year. You're going to mix Jabril in there when he wins
well,
the Heisman?
Well, I mean, if Jabril gets in, I mean how cool would that be to have him win the Heisman as the second defensive guy, also coming from Michigan, and then, you know, throw him right in line with everybody else. That'd be kind of neat in a way, really.
Where would you feature the Heisman Trophy people?
Actually, on my other side of my ribcage. It'd actually kind of be like revolving around the band kind of. leads into the players.
You got space
so it's
there.
Kind of a
What about a tattoo? What about a tattoo of the fans?
You know, we kind of actually kind of threw a loose idea about that, but the idea that we're just going to probably go with is just something with a big house with, like, you know, a scene.
Yeah, with a lot of fans.
Crowd in the background, cool. Something along that line.
Now, what are fans part of the landscape? I mean, I don't know. Maybe some concession vendors and stuff.
How about I'll put a big hot dog right on my back.
The M-Den? I don't know. Just some thoughts.
No, M-Den. No, it's not like the zipper is going to turn into the doors or something. So
how about Bob Ufer?
or Brandy?
Know, maybe the whole Michigan thing, but not actually Bob himself.
How about Burton Tower? What? That's like the most famous thing on Central Campus.
Yeah, you don't have nearly enough tattoos.
Wait,
look at all these
Jay.
Ideas. He's shooting them down left and right. This guy doesn't like Michigan.
Jay,
Jesus.
Do you know what Burton Tower is?
No, what is Burton Tower?
What Burton Tower is?
You do or you don't? I'm sorry.
No, I do. I do.
Okay. Well, get that tattoo. It'll fit nice in your thigh.
What is Burton Tower?
It's the bell tower in Central Campus.
Yeah, it's the big tower that stands right in the middle of the quad.
Oh, yeah, that's impressive.
I know the tattoo you don't have that you have to get. The hash bash. The hash bash in Michigan every April.
Jesus Christ. The worst.
Put a big bong on my leg.
Yeah, well, somebody would be bonging out. Maybe a Michigan football fan who's at the hash bash. That'd be a good way to include them. Incorporate the fans I was talking about.
What happens if somebody comes up and wants to smoke me, though?
Well,
could be a problem.
They could do that.
Make a lot of people happy.
I don't know if I'm into being rolled or anything like that.
Now, why is it just football? What about basketball? Can you put Trey Burke or Cassie Russell on there?
No, I do it all. Wrestling, basketball,
did you put Cliff Keen on there?
No, I don't have Cliff Keen on there. No.
Michael Phelps?
Famous wrestler.
Michael Phelps? No?
I was going to say, wrestled?
The swimmer?
I thought he was a swimmer.
Yeah. No, Cliff Keen was a wrestler.
Wait, didn't Phelps go to Michigan? Or no, he just worked out of Michigan?
He went to Michigan for a while.
Okay. Michael Phelps?
Yeah, he went to Michigan for a while.
Are you discriminating against Olympians for some reason? Or what's going on?
No, we're just kind of, keeping it kind Real. Of basically themed. I know I play obviously a few people on me, but I guess, you know, you got to get a little choosy when you kind of have a lot of ideas, but only so much room to work with.
I got a perfect Michigan alum for you to put on there, and everyone knows. No. Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes.
There you go, yeah. And James Earl Jones.
I'll just put a big timepiece on me, counting down.
How about Ted Kaczynski? You can put Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber picture where he's got the hood up and the glasses.
That's so cool. And
it's a good picture.
The Shaq.
Now, would I have him holding a mask book with like a bomb sticking out the top? Or
No, just the actual sketch photo when they were looking for him.
The hoodie and the aviator sunglasses.
Andy Davis?
Andy Davis, yeah.
The maid?
Or Margot Martindale from The Americans?
Oh, my God. Now you're being bombarded.
Or Lucy
Liu.
Awesome
ideas, and as soon as you guys get moving on them, I'd love to see them.
Iggy Pop went to Michigan briefly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Now, you know what? He's skinny, so I mean, he wouldn't take up a lot of room.
No, he wouldn't. Are you an Iggy Pop fan?
I know of Iggy Pop. I've heard a few of his songs. I wouldn't go as far as to say I'm a fan, however.
I got another one. How about Dr. Sanjay Gupta? You could put a tattoo of Gupta on there.
Gupta's good.
Everyone knows Gupta.
You know what? Hey, it's all about where you put the Gupta, you know.
You'd be walking down the street and someone goes, hey, look at that Gupta tat.
You know.
How cool.
I mean, you start the whole Gupta chant, it's going to take off. I can see it now.
Derek Jeter, he almost went to Michigan.
Fuck that. He was there for a semester.
Right,
don't ever put Jeter on there.
Okay.
He's the only one that makes me mad.
He wanted to go to Michigan.
But he didn't.
Well, he kind of like just showed up, really.
What about a tattoo of you? Nobody loves Michigan more than you. You could tattoo yourself. Like a cartoon version?
I just look at my poor butt in the mirror every single morning.
Oh, man.
How about Tom Brady?
And I wonder why.
Yeah. I asked about Tom Brady.
I wonder what got into you. How did you get to be such a huge Michigan fan? What happened?
Easy question.
Pretty much. Being a young guy growing up in the East Coast of Canada where, you know, your main sport of everything is hockey from where you live. And then I was sitting at home one day and we were being broadcast Detroit TV. Huh. And I happened to see the maize and blue winged helmet come running across my screen, and I was like, that is really freaking cool.
Yeah.
And just kind of kept watching, and then just the love grew from there. That's pretty much how it started.
Sweet.
Does that mean the helmet is tattooed on your body somewhere?
Couple places.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
In multiple facets as well, yes. I have it about 4 or 5 times, yeah.
Okay, now,
awesome.
If you had plans, let's say tonight you just were dreaming, you were dreaming Michigan football all night, and when you woke up, you decided, okay, there's 5 new tattoos that I'm going to get this weekend. I'm so excited. I've got enough money. It's not a problem. Would your wife be happy, neutral, or unhappy?
She'd be happy. She'd be fine with it.
She would? She'd be happy. She'd be excited. Yeah. She'd say, what are you getting? I can't wait.
Yeah, no, she actually comes home, when I come home, she's always interested to see what me and my friend have come up with. So it always ends up coming down to whatever me and Adam come up with for ideas or designs.
What does Adam have? Does he have Michigan tattoos?
No. Adam is my best friend, also happens to be my artist as well. He's ironically not a sports guy at all.
You're an artist on retainer?
Michigan tattoos for him.
Wow. Does your wife have tattoos?
Just the one little Canada heart.
Yeah.
Okay. And your mom? How about your parents? Have they checked in on the subject?
Not really. No.
No.
Huh.
Okay. We'll pursue that much more. I don't think.
So.
Something weird about that, but that's okay.
Yeah, Jay. This is it's quite educational because some of these people I didn't know anything about, but yeah.
You're saying you've been educated about Michigan football through Jay Radigan?
Kind of have.
All you had to do was ask me, geez.
I know.
It's easier to learn through tattoos.
Well, it depends on what we're asking you, too.
Point.
But you were telling me the other day that you have none. You there's a cutoff at some point.
What?
Yes and no. The cutoff really is if I want to move on per careers as to what I do now. Me and my wife basically have discussed it to the point that if I want to move on, nothing above the wrists and nothing above the neck. So that way, if I got to go out and maintain a level of professionality, I can still do that without having to scare
the long sleeve. The long sleeve shirt, the tie will cover up virtually everything.
But Jay, don't you always wear a hat?
Yep. Always wear a hat. Yeah.
What job is this? It sounds like you're a DJ. You're a radio guy.
No, DJ. And I just I have a little flair for life. I just like to suck it all in and just go with the flow because I'm only here once. So I actually work on the freighters that you see going up and down the Detroit River all the time. So I work with, pretty big machinery all day, dangerous cargo. But it's honestly, for me, it's a job of a lifetime. I love it. I enjoy it. And it's everything that I'm about. So just fits right in with my personality, really.
Jay said something about dangerous cargo. I'm wondering, what is the most dangerous cargo you've ever had?
We do handle explosives.
Whoa.
Sweet.
Wait, like for the fireworks or something?
At times, actually, yes, we have handled those.
For the Zambelli family? Isn't it the Zambelli family?
Honestly, I wouldn't know the particulars. I just know we handle it, and it's got to get to its spot safely. So,
right.
And you're the guy who does it. And steel, lots of steel.
Pretty much.
Jay.
Somebody else deals with the paperwork. I just got to move it, and safely.
Uh-huh. It just hit me, your next tattoo, the maize and blue jump man for the new apparel. Stupid. You know the new jump man apparel for Nike?
Basketball player on your body?
Yeah.
It was something that we kind of threw around.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to probably just stay.
A basketball player.
Jordan. Like, I don't think I'm going to pretty well do anything like that. So.
Because it's Michael Jordan and he's a basketball
player. It's a brand.
Right?
It's a logo for a brand.
It's a basketball
player. Right, yeah.
Nobody knows the basketball
player. And let's face it,
he's dunking.
Somebody else came up and I'm trying to be me. I'm trying to be unique, different. And that's somebody else's idea.
It doesn't,
already,
doesn't make the cut, clearly.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's acceptable, but I mean, it's not something I want to live with permanently.
No, of course not. Well, that's incredible. Jay Radigan again. He's got the most amazing collection of Michigan tattoos possibly in the world. Does anyone have more Michigan tattoos than you? Have you ever heard of anyone that possibly does?
No. The only I actually have looked. The only other person that I know of with multiple Michigan tattoos, I think they're running somewhere in the neighborhood of 10.
Wow.
That's it.
Underachievers.
And who is that?
Yeah.
Who is that guy?
Well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to start mocking them or anything like that because they actually do follow my page and I have a lot of respect for what they do as well.
Oh, tell them to catch up.
It comes down to the fact that we're all just a big family. You know, all the people that have been on my page and are on my page have shown me so much great love and support just going through even all of this. That honestly, they're almost like another family to me. And
Jay,
I honestly
so intense.
Can't say enough about these guys on my page. These guys are amazing. And
Jay, what page are you,
you know,
talking
this
about?
This is really kind of what sucks you in about this whole thing.
Tell us what page you're talking about.
It's Facebook page, right?
It's my own personal Facebook page under my own name of Jay Radigan.
Okay.
And all I've done is just basically went out and found people who were fans of Michigan like I am, obviously not to the same extreme, and just wanted to follow whatever Michigan does, and that's all my page is about, really.
Sweet. So if you want to get involved in Jay's page, I'm sure, Jay, you probably are friending people as we speak.
Oh, hey, the more the merrier in my book.
Okay, man. Well, good luck, and let us know what number 33 is.
Actually, 32 is going to be taking place on 32. Saturday.
What is it? What is it?
Ooh.
We're doing a big Block M, probably with the phrase, you know, who's got it better than us? Nobody.
Nobody. So,
yeah, that's
sweet.
Actually going to be going between Jim Harbaugh and Gerald Ford. So.
Perfect.
Yeah, that sounds great, Jay.
That's great.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, bud.
Thanks, Jay.
Have a good one.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye.
Go Blue!
Go Blue!
Bye-bye.
He's awesome.
He's really positive.
Yes. He's like really intense.
Oh my God,
is he intense.
Awesome. I love it.
He is his tattoos.
Yeah.
He rules.
Yeah, he really is. He's all in.
He might be a little...
No! Don't say it.
He's too intense.
No, he's never... Awesome.
Is there a Virginia Tech guy with that many tattoos?
No one cares.
He couldn't even make a joke about the next guy in line.
No.
It was 10 tattoos.
No, nothing but respect.
A little shot, just a little tiny kidding nudge. No.
The community has nothing but respect for each other.
Can't do that.
That's the Michigan difference.
Oh, the Michigan difference. Oh, my God.
Leaders and best.
Oh, help you people.
Well, is there
the cult?
We don't need to be helped.
The cult.
Help from what?
You need to be deprogrammed.
I think you people need to be helped.
Why? Because we're not programmed yet? We like our schools, but we have perspective. Right, Trudy?
Yep. I sure. Got to say, though,
that's
you both
you
have better school colors than me, so I'm sort of fighting that my entire career. The orange and brown.
Yeah, but those school colors gave birth to the Cleveland Brown colors. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Really? Browns?
Paul Brown liked Bowling Green's uniforms so much, he adopted them for the Cleveland Browns.
Because his last name was Brown, that's why.
No, maybe.
That might,
that's why I like the orange and the brown together.
Nice ego, by the way, giving your team a nickname after your last name when it's Brown.
Really
the Cleveland dumb. Browns, and the name is so stupid. No other sport has a Brown.
And then he dumped
it. What is a Brown?
Didn't he dump it and start the Bengals?
Yeah,
yes,
he did.
So,
oh, what a weird story. True, do you know that story?
I didn't know that story.
Paul Brown is fascinating.
Is he?
Actually,
really? He's unbelievable.
He was a brilliant guy. He was a big innovator.
Yeah, loved technology too. He's the first one that put the headset in the helmet, because you know now today that's how they call plays in the NFL.
Oh, no kidding.
It's with wireless. They wired in. He put it back in there in like the 50s or 60s.
Wow.
And they would be playing football in New York City, and the quarterback would, you know, listen for the play in his helmet, and they'd hear, yeah, we need a cabbie at 47th and Broadway. And the cab companies kept being intercepted by their helmets.
Radio so signals.
Technology was too, you know, too advanced, I guess.
Respect for Bowling Green State University, though, because I wouldn't be here without them. So, okay.
You wouldn't be here?
No, I would not.
Where would you be?
In somebody else's basement, probably. My parents.
Your parents.
Hey, would you be closer to Loserland, possibly?
No, I probably would. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would be some cool housewife with 10 kids. That's probably what I'd be.
I cannot see that.
No?
No, not at all. Speaking of football, did you see they named who's going to be performing at halftime?
Oh, yeah.
For the Super Bowl?
Gaga?
Official, yeah. Lady Gaga.
Gaga?
Gaga, huh?
Yeah. Which does that really...
Wait, what happened? Britney Spears had offered her services.
I know. I bet you she'll appear with Gaga.
Oh, yeah, they'll bring her out because they do multiple artists now.
You think she'll have Spears, Gaga, well?
I don't know. Would you be surprised?
Will a boob come out? Because that happened, you know, and it ruined everything for
Oh, yeah,
long
Janet.
Time. So please not let a boob come out.
I don't think Gaga will do that.
I mean, does that really get people excited? Gaga? Lady Gaga?
No.
Not now. It seems like. No. I don't. You know, it's weird. Sure. She exploded onto the scene. And then, I don't know, I'm just kind of over Gaga'd.
Well, be prepared, because I think she's got a new album coming out.
I was over Gaga'd, too, to the point where I banned one of my interns from talking about her, because that's all she did.
What?
Lady Gaga this, Lady Gaga that. And I was like, you're not allowed to talk about her anymore.
Good rule.
Is there a name for people who are too into Lady Gaga?
Yeah, monsters. Doesn't she call them little monsters or something?
They're Gaga for Gaga, though.
Oh.
That is
Gaga for Gaga.
But what would you perform, though? Think about it. Her songs aren't really necessarily up tempo,
like
are
her
they?
Face? Yeah, they are. A lot of them.
Oh,
are.
I guess.
Some of them. I don't know. Oh, I hate her
Bad
first.
Bad Romance.
Her first. Two, what are her two first hits? Poker
Face.
What was the other one? There was two that came out. When Jim Bentley went to the show?
Bad, yeah, that's right.
We gave him so much abuse for that, too.
And then he honestly kind of liked it, he said.
Yeah.
He was in denial for a long time.
Yes.
He was forced to go
is
by...
Is it Bad Romance? Was that one of her first ones?
That's not the one I'm thinking of. They were well-known songs, and they were both big hits.
And you couldn't stop hearing them on the Hits radio.
And when Jim went to the show... It seems to me everyone was dressed like Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So he said. Does that probably still happen?
Maybe. I would imagine.
Hopefully but not.
That was like well before she was huge, though, right? Because it was in Royal Oak.
Oh.
The Gaga show?
Yeah.
She was blowing up at the time. She had a hit.
Oh,
that was like,
I know what it is. Just Dance. Just Dance.
Was that it? Are you sure?
That was her first hit. Then Poker Face.
And then what? What
Love Game.
Perfect Illusion.
And what?
Paparazzi. Oh.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't know. I thought it was something
Those
else
are all
for some
big songs, though.
Yeah, she blew up big time. And
you're probably thinking of Paparazzi.
I think she was on her way to like her second number one hit when Bentley pretended not to be happy to go to the show.
I think it was when Poker Face was out.
Yeah, it was.
Born This Way, that was it.
That was later, though. That was her second album, wasn't it?
It was 2011.
I'm not going to act like I know Lady Gaga because it's too embarrassing.
Well...
Anyway,
hot music.
What was really kind of concerning about the show was Jim said everyone was dressed like Lady Gaga. All the fans were.
Yeah.
And some of them, I mean, even like chicks that were 300 pounds are dressed like Lady Gaga.
Well, even all the eating machines that went.
It's all about acceptance.
All the eating machines that showed up.
Well, that's what a term. I mean, isn't it just
eating
brilliant?
Machine.
Eating machine.
It's really funny.
That first album did 15 million.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Well, at least she can sing and play her own music. Compose her own music.
I don't mind her. She is what she is. I don't listen. Sit down and listen to it.
Learned a lot about Mark today.
You learned a lot about what?
I don't
he
hate
loves
her.
Dumb
though.
Girls like Britney. He's really attracted to him.
I thought Britney was kind of cute.
Oh. I never. You know, it's
adorable.
Funny.
I don't pass judgment on people, Trudy.
My thing about Britney
ever.
My thing about Britney Spears is, I thought she was a creation, basically.
Yes.
Here's a hot chick who people will like mm-hmm. if we give her some good songs and she can have hits.
And she was a little girl when they started it.
Yep.
And it worked and she had the hits and she could dance and she could, you know, lead an entourage of, you know, 50 dancers with her and all that stuff, which has nothing to do with music. But I thought, first of all, that her voice was so
garbage.
Dubious.
Yeah.
And second of all, I didn't think she was that hot. I thought she was pretty. But I thought, you know, if you're going to make a creation for, you know, and just bring in all this great material for this creation that has not hardly a brain in her, I would just think it would be somebody hotter.
Yeah, definitely.
In my opinion. I just didn't think she was that hot. But I guess a lot of people did. So
right.
That's just a matter of taste.
Yeah.
And her net worth, celebrity net worth, is only $200 million. Good God.
Wow. And Francis and Beaners is 450 still. That's crazy.
And Gaga is how much?
275.
Wow.
But, you know, when people were that sort of, well, we were talking about them earlier, those media creation type people like, well, I mentioned Bobby Sherman and Leif Garrett and who else? Oh, what's the girl that used to sing in the mall? Tiffany.
Oh,
people
right,
like that.
Yeah.
Those people never had net worths of $200 million.
No,
because they had their hit and they moved along, but Britney was able to continue to get material from outside. She supposedly did she claim she wrote a few of those songs?
Well, yeah, but
she co-wrote them or tri-wrote them. Yeah, right.
With parts. Come on, really.
In the last couple of days here, Tiffany worth $4 million, allegedly. I think Tiffany looks cute now. I like the way she looks now.
I wonder how much of that's from when she posed in Playboy.
Probably about $500,000 of it. I thought she looked really good in Playboy.
What about Gibson? What's Gibson's value?
Debbie Gibbs? I think we looked her up before.
Wasn't Gibbs just on Dancing with the Stars not that long ago? Oh. Or is that Tiffany? I don't know.
I think it was Gibby.
It's Gibby.
Debbie Gibby.
Gibby's worth $5 million.
Yeah, see?
Oh, Deborah.
No, she'll always be Gibby.
She's no longer Debbie Gibson? You must call her Debbie Gibson or Gibby. the Bruce Springsteen book came out.
Wow.
It's only, let's see, only 503.
Good God.
Pages too long?
508 pages.
Too long.
Jesus.
I don't know.
No pictures?
I don't see any pictures in here. Seriously. I mean, isn't that kind of a ripoff? Wouldn't you expect there to be a picture session?
Definitely.
There probably just got to be a section with some pictures.
I don't see any.
I don't see any either.
No.
Anyway, I was reading some segments today. I just could not bear to go to page one and start a 520-page book I'm reading every page. So I was jumping around and finding fun stuff. And I have to say, if you like Bruce Springsteen, you'll love the book because he's really detailed. And I think he tells a story very effectively, as he used to at his shows for so long. I mean, you've seen Bruce tell stories, haven't you?
It's a natural tendency. Yes, definitely. That's why his shows take 4 hours.
How many Bruce shows have you been to, Trudy?
Counting way back, probably 3 or 4.
Like, I think you're the only other person in the show besides me that likes Bruce at all.
I grew up there, though, with that whole, with Born to Run, so...
Wait, you didn't grow up in Jersey.
No, but I mean, that's the storytelling, it sort of carries you away. And I remember listening to it in college, and there was a guy, shut up.
Laughing at something
else. Oh, yeah.
Wait, somebody ooh somebody? Was there an ooh I missed?
He laughed. He snickered when I'm telling the story. But there was a guy with a Mustang, and we went on his Mustang and listened to Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, they're Born to Run, and it was just really cool.
Well. I guess the honor system, we're going to have to believe her.
So prepared for that question.
But Trudy's cranking Born to Run, Tramps Like Us, We Were Born to Run. How could you resist?
He was pretty hot, too, but we were friends. It was just a friend thing.
Oh, friend zone. Stuck in the friend zone.
Did you engage in heavy petting?
No, that was our thing. We just like going out and riding around in his car. I think he just wanted somebody to ride around in his car. He was kind of shy.
Is he gay now or something?
What could he have done to get out of the friend zone? What was his mistake that put him in the friend zone?
Because
you said you liked him. You said he was attractive.
I don't think he really did anything. I think did I have a boyfriend then? I forget. One off campus.
An off campus boyfriend?
Do you remember his name?
Townie?
Do you remember
his name?
Tootie the Townie?
He's an engineer.
This really is a Bruce Springsteen song. Do you remember his name? Don't say it.
Off-campus engineer?
So I can Google this guy?
No, you cannot Google him.
Come on.
There's no way she's giving that up.
Write it down.
He was an engineer, and he was a little older than me. And he had a Trans Am. He had a Trans Am, and I was like, oh, my God. So possibly I was attracted to people for their cars back then.
Sounds like it.
That I do
definitely under suspicion.
That I do believe.
But he went to Toledo, and he had graduated. He was actually,
Did the Trans Am have an eagle on the hood?
The Slutmobile, remember Tom
Slutmobile?
Cruise?
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yes,
it had an eagle. Oh my
black.
God!
No, it was a silver.
And did the eagle make him more attractive or less attractive?
Momentarily, but he was a very sweet person. But
because I like
it was just not
for me. If I met someone with a Trans Am with the eagle on the hood, now at this point in my life. I could not take them seriously.
I know. Fast forward to now, and I could never have taken that.
Didn't Billy Madison have an eagle on the cover? Around
Yes, didn't he?
When he pulled up, listened to Billy Squire. A stroke.
I know. And that's portrayed as comedy,
I know, isn't that funny?
I know, it's stupid, but I was really young.
Whatever.
Super young and impressionable.
It's a great detour here.
The stupid thing about it is we went away on a vacation thing, and he drove the Trans Am all the way to Maine.
What?
That must have cost a mint.
He drove because he wanted the Trans Am with him at all times, and only that.
He was still trying to bag Trudy. So he's like, I got to bring the Trans Am.
I got to have the Trans Am. I need to bring my penis with me.
There he was.
How fast was it? Delay rubber?
It was pretty fast, yeah.
And delay rubber, and did you like that?
I kind of did, but the car, you're right, was a projection of masculinity that...
Of course.
But may have been necessary. Oh. Gotta stop.
That's interesting.
You gotta stop.
That's
now.
That's very interesting.
I think you've answered everything we need to know, counselor.
Yeah, I think the story's over.
Yeah. I think it's a whole different story.
Story is over. Unless you want to hear the grim part.
Wonderful person. Wonderful person.
Yeah, boy.
You have a Trans Am.
And a Trans Am.
Hand it to them for that.
Oh,
was it a recent model Trans Am?
Oh.
No, it was like 80s.
Any Bondo on it?
No. It was in mint condition, of course.
Excellent.
I had the money to buy it.
Hey, did you like Firebirds, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
Because I did. I was having a conversation with somebody and saying, oh, Firebirds were tacky. I didn't like those at all.
Oh, it depends on what year, but in 68, 69, those, you know, smaller ones before everything had to become huge.
Yeah. Oh, the ones that were so fast, those late 60s, early 70s Firebirds.
And 69.
Firebird, that was the answer to the
Mustang.
The Mustang and the Camaro, right? Wasn't the Camaro first?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah, God,
I love those late 60s Camaros.
Oh, yeah, they're kick-ass.
I want one.
Yeah.
At some point. Some point in my life, what little is left of it, I must squeeze in a Camaro.
Oh, yeah. They're beautiful. I mean, and restore very nicely.
What year Camaro do you want?
I like the 69 Camaro. I like the 68 Camaro a lot.
Yeah, you know, you type in 1969 in Google, and the first thing that pops up is Camaro. Then Mustang, then Charger, then Chevelle, then Mets.
Wow.
Then Mets.
69
Mets?
Oh,
the
Mets,
the Miracle Mets.
Yeah.
I had a, the guy who brought that Camaro that was VIN number 00001.
Oh,
Camaro,
right. Yeah,
that
yeah.
he restored and had got all original parts and all that, spent $250,000 to recreate the 69 Camaro. And I was like, how could the parts cost that much?
Oh, my.
And would the car sell for that much? And I was told the car would sell for twice that much at least.
No, really?
Yeah, well, collectors are
wasn't
crazy.
It green, like avocado green?
No, it was brown. It was like champagne, actually.
Oh.
Which was his original color, which they were trying to do everything original. So, yeah.
Oh.
Whatever.
Oh. I see. You know, my thing, though, is I later wanted those cars of my own. So I think what I was projecting was...
Yourself as a driver.
And then I needed to have control of the hot car. So that's why I aspired.
Understandable. I had a friend in high school that had a Roadrunner.
Oh, that's cool.
A 477 engine.
Oh, yeah, those
were 477. It had
super
the,
hot.
The cotter pins in the hood.
Pins.
You know, for the car, fit the carburetor. Oh, did that car fly? Oh, my God. He laid rubber for like half a block once.
Whoa.
It was fun. I mean, we're all half over the road just like that.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy.
Yeah. What color?
It was green.
Light green?
With a black top.
Oh,
not lime green, like a nice... It was a nice color green.
Oh, wow.
What a gearhead that guy was. He was always in his garage taking it apart.
I know.
Anyway, this all works very nicely with our conversation about Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run. And it's kind of, a story we all could relate to. It's Bruce in 84, June of 84, and he's just finished the Born in the USA album.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And he's talking about... Well, he's talking about clothes the band wore for the tour, which is will sound more relatable than just saying that. But anyway, he's about to make the video, which would have been Dancing in the Dark, of course, the video. So here I am on the big road. Standing in front of me is Brian De Palma, a friend of John Landau's. Brian De Palma, he's just made, you know, a series of great horror flicks.
Uh-huh.
What was his? I'm trying to think. What were his big movies?
I can't remember the one, but psychological thrillers.
Isn't there another De Palma too? Which one is he? The one that died of the cocaine overdose?
No, that's Demme. Actually,
oh,
that was Ted Demme, I think.
Okay.
But De Palma made the one movie where it turns out it's a chick dressed like a guy that's the killer.
Oh, The Crying Game?
No, not The Crying Game. This was in the early 80s.
Jay knows.
Here we go.
Well, there's Blowout.
Scarface?
It's not Blowout. It's
Come on.
Wait. Body double. Is it body double?
I think there's none. Go that way, Jake, because I think this one was big.
Bonfire, the Vanities.
It's definitely made in the early 80s.
I never watched that.
Oh, he made Carlito's Way. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, it might have been body double, Trudy. You might be. Yeah, I think it's body double.
Who was the
Yeah, it's got to be body double. I didn't know he made Scarface. He made Scarface?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Melanie Griffith was the body double, or Holly Body. She was super hot back then.
I'm pretty sure that's the movie, but go down to the right just in case. Maybe there's another movie I'm thinking of. The Fury Obsession, Femme Fatale, Redacted, Snake Eyes, Sisters, Raising Kane. Kelsey's a War, keep going.
Nice to kill. Carrie.
Bonfire of the Vanities, Hi Mom, Greetings, The Wedding Party, Wise Guys, Home Movies, Get to Jesus.
He dated Margot Kidder. Cool.
Bruce Springsteen's Yikes. The last thing on his list, Dancing in the Dark video. It's actually on his bio.
Blowout is John Travolta.
Yeah. I think Blowout was fairly popular. But anyway, he's standing in front of Brian De Palma, and who's mentioned in Werewolves of London, isn't he?
Yeah, by Warren Zevon.
By Warren Zevon. The director of The Untouchables, Scarface, and many other great films, is here to give us a leg up on Dancing in the Dark. We had a false start a week or two previous with another director, so Brian's come to make sure justice is done to what will turn out to be my greatest hit. He introduces me to a pixious, dazzlingly blue-eyed young girl in a freshly minted Born in the USA shirt, deposits her at the front of the stage and says, at the end of the song, pull her up on stage and dance with her. He's a director, so a baby-faced Courtney Cox takes her cue, while I, white man Boogaloo, and daddy shuffle my way up to the number two spot in the Billboard charts.
White man Boogaloo.
Until Brian told me later he'd chosen her from a casting call in New York City. I thought she was a fan. We were held out of the number one spot only by Prince's When Doves Cry, which is my least favorite Prince hit, I think, of all time. I never liked that song. Yeah. We would make many videos in the future. I'd even come to enjoy them, but none would ever list the same knee-slapping guffaws and righteous rolling laughter from my kids as me doing my Jersey James Brown Dancing in the Dark. Dad, you look ridiculous! Ridiculous or not, we were soon once again to be the biggest thing since the last big thing. Our video completed, it was now time for the easy work, the 3 hours of fire-breathing rock and roll. Opening night for her first appearance as an East Reader, Patty was to say, lightly rehearsed. Patty had just joined the band. We hadn't had the time. A mere few hours before the show, a small monitor and a microphone were positioned for her somewhere between Roy and Max. It was a jig rig. Wardrobe? The Born in the USA tour was notable for the sartorial horror sweeping E Street Nation. The band had never looked and dressed so bad. I'd grown weary of being a wardrobe Nazi coordinating the men into what was supposed to look like an effortless unified front. In 84, I abandoned everyone of their worst instincts, and they came through glowingly. The 80s ruled. C's Gap Band box cut, Nell's bandana and satin jockey jacket, Max's perm, Roy's Cosby sweaters, and my soon-to-be iconic bandana and pumped muscles. Looking back on the photos now, I simply look gay. I probably would have fit right in down on Christopher Street in any one of the leather bars. We were all certainly united to strike fear into the heart of the nearest hipper-than-thou stylist. It varied from night to night, and some evenings approached tolerable, but all in all, fashion mayhem reigned.
Wow. He's a great writer.
Yeah, I love the way. I mean, I can't say I can hear him talking because I don't know. He doesn't talk that much. He
talks like this.
But I like what I'm reading.
Yeah.
I like that he's writing a lot about, of course, the high school days, which I thought was really cool. His father and the shitty relationship he had with his dad. But for some reason, and not that I had a relationship like that, I lived with my mom. My parents were divorced. Well, when you weren't doing your own gigs, you were checking out the competition. After the British invasion, teen shows exploded into primetime television. Shindig featured the Shindogs with the great James Burton on the guitar. Hullabaloo. I remember Hullabaloo just barely. I don't know if it's because I've seen reruns of it or remember it. But
you had an older brother.
Yeah, right. Older brother. Absolutely. Hullabaloo brought your favorite British and American groups onto your life on a weekly basis. At home, the battle for control of the television was in full throttle. The fight became ugly and brutish. My father, stretched out on the couch in his white tee and work pants, howled when I switched the channel from his favorite Western to see if the latest musical heroes were hitting the stage at the Ed Sullivan Theater. Hullabaloo started a franchise of clubs around the nation. I didn't know that. I don't remember that at all. Taking over any vacant supermarket or warehouse, fitting it out with never-before-seen black lights, a lighting effect that made anything white, including your teeth. Isn't that funny, thinking of the first black lights when Bruce was just starting to play? A few big posters and lots of dancing room. They book the best local bands along with the occasional national act coming through town on tour. In Freehold, in the newly abandoned supermarket, I witnessed the majesty of Britain's screaming Lord Sutch. At the Hullabaloo Club, you played 55 minutes on and 5 minutes off all night long. During the Shadows 5-minute break, I was introduced to their frontman, Steve Van Zandt.
Huh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The Castiles by now, that's Bruce's band, had a significant reputation, so he knew who I was. We talked a little shop, we hit it off, and he went back for his next set. So began one of the longest and greatest friendships of my life. Over the years, we would visit each other's gigs often. I caught him one summer night in our local battle of the bands at the Arthur Pryor Bandshell on the boardwalk in Asbury Park as the Shadows ran through their Paul Revere and the Raiders routine playing Kicks. I actually like Kicks.
That's a good song.
I like, you know what? I'm almost embarrassed to say it. I liked all the Paul Revere and the Raiders hits. Hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Hungry, Kicks. Good Thing. Remember Good Thing?
Yeah.
Good Thing. I mean, they're really poppy. They were very melodic.
But they were catchy.
How about Kicks, Jay? Paul Revere and the Raiders? Playing Kicks outfitted in white chinos, white tuxedo shirts, and black vests. They captured first place. Isn't it funny that Steve Van Zandt's band beat Bruce's band?
Never again, but...
Back in the day. And Paul Revere and the Raiders all wearing the matching suits. This is from the TV show, I think. Lead singer, Trudy.
Oh.
Had a hit called Arizona.
Mark Lindsay.
Great quality.
Nice voice. Here comes the...
Party to find.
Yeah.
Not with kicks.
Pretty groovy. That's a pretty funky band there, that Paul Revere and the Raiders, man. Hey, look at that dancing girl on the right. Is that Goldie Hawn? It looks like Goldie Hawn.
Is it?
It does, doesn't it, Jay? Is this laughing?
That's that Goldie Hawn. She's hot. I tell you, she's hot.
That's Goldie Hawn, isn't it?
It is.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's how she kind of started out, wasn't it?
On Laughing, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
As a dancer.
So, anyway, Steve Van Zandt's band wins the Battle of the Bands. They formed a mutual admiration society of two. I'd finally met someone who felt about music the way I did, needed it the way I did, respected its power in a way that was a notch above the attitudes of other musicians. I'd come in contact with somebody I understood and felt understood me. With Steve and me, from the beginning, it was heart to heart, soul to soul. It was all impassioned, endless arguments over the minutiae of the groups we loved, the deep delving into the smallest detail of guitar sound, style, image, the obsession of sharing with someone who was as single-minded and crazy as you were, a passion you simply could not get enough of. These were things you could not fully explain to outsiders. Steven. Uh-oh. Oops. Steven, I believe, big time.
Get my dog.
We created a world of our own, all rock and roll, all the time. He lived in Middletown, a long hike from Freehold for the wheelless. When Steve formed his new group, The Source, I'd visit his gigs at Le Teen de Vous. Steve was an early country rock acolyte, mastering the Birds and the Youngbloods. Birds, way cool. Mm-hmm. When he moved to playing lead guitar, he got real good real fast. The Castiles by this time had added an organist, Bobby Alfano, and moved into the psychedelic blues territory of 67. This is a cool part here. This is about the guitar. Let's see, wait. The Castiles had cut a single in a small studio in Bricktown. That's What You Get for Loving Me, backed by Baby I, our two self-penned originals. We walked out that afternoon with a two-track tape and some acetates. Those are 45s that were good for a few plays, but not more than a few plays. Hmm. We already knew we'd hit a wall locally. We were now the big dogs in town. On Saturday afternoon, we sat around Texas and decided to be discovered. We'd have to get out of Jersey. You could play for 10 zillion years, wailing your genius into the void, and no one beyond the locals would ever know. New York City, that's where the bands found fame and fortune. We had to break in there. I made a few calls. Somehow got us booked into Cafe Wa in Greenwich Village for a Saturday matinee audition. The only thing I know about Cafe Wa was that Hendrix played there.
Oh, really?
Like one of his first gigs on the East Coast was in Cafe Wa.
Oh, wow.
This was major. We got the gig. We didn't get paid. They just agreed to let you play, get your foot into the big time of New York, and hope somebody stumbled in and decided you were the next big thing.
Oh, that makes sense.
That didn't happen. Our experience at the Village, however, was critical. Note, None of the bands we saw were well known, but almost all of them were better than we were. The bus trips became a regular part of our weekends. The arguments on the way up about who was better, Zeppelin or the Jeff Beck Group. The immersion in village life with the hippies, the gays, the drug dealers, Washington Square Park. We basked in the freedom of it all, and it became a true home away from home. Just a brief year or two after Jimi Hendrix played the Wah, the Castiles played regularly Saturday and Sunday next door to the Fugs on McDougal Street. You know the Fugs, the band?
I remember the name. I don't remember anything they did, though. But it's a great
name. I was thinking they were a garage, kind of a garage rock band, yeah. I think.
It was Goldie Hawn, by the way. I looked that up.
Oh, was?
It was at ericcarman.com.
Oh, wow. Eric Carmen comes up again?
What?
Yep.
Get this.
The Raspberry.
The Mothers of Invention were around the corner at the Warwick Theater.
Oh, that's really cool.
And Steve and I caught Neil Young promoting his first solo album, his signature Black Gibson plugged into a tiny Fender amp, blowing out the walls of the Bitter End. This was the big world, the free world, in Greenwich Village in 1968. I could walk with my freak flag held high and nobody's going to bust me. It was a world I could call my own, a little piece of my future beckoning. No interest in drugs back in Jersey, even though they were becoming a part of high school. Though I did none myself, I was too scared. I lived next door to and was friends with one of the town's first radical drug experimenters. I was called in the principal's office and asked a lot of drug-related questions about which I knew nothing. Given the times of my appearance, no one believed a word I said. As graduation drew near, the principal of Freehold High, a basically good guy with whom I had a pretty decent detente for most of my high school years, took it upon himself to suggest at a graduation meeting that to let me attend the ceremony looking the way I did would be a discredit and a disgrace to the class. He hinted perhaps that someone should do something about it, and it was his hair.
Really?
Who said long hair.
That super long hair?
Yep.
Huh.
And he dressed pretty slovenly. That was it for me. I would not be the subject victim of a meat-headed vigilante retribution. On my Freehold Regional High School graduation day, I woke up at dawn, and while the house was asleep, I got dressed, went down to the bus terminal, and boarded the 6 a.m. Lincoln Transit commuter straight to New York City.
Whoa.
I disembarked at the Port Authority, grabbed the subway to 8th Street, and walked up the stairs to the early June sunlight of Greenwich Village, feeling free as a bird. My world. I was done. Let them have their little party. Spent my graduation day wandering around the village, eating pizza, hanging in Washington Square, stopping in at the Wah, and meeting a new girlfriend. Well,
how'd
you do that in one day.
Wow.
My folks finally caught up with me at the Wah and via phone told me anything would be just fine. It'd be all right if I would just come home. So I caught a bus, bringing my new tag-along gal pal with me. We arrived in the early evening. This is his graduation party he's going to with his new girlfriend. From New York City.
Huh? I bet Doug was overjoyed.
We'll see how Doug feels about that. We arrived in the early evening, just hours after the ceremony. My father met me at our front door, the house filled with relatives attending my family's graduation festivities. And after he took one look at my gal pal, I went straight back to the bus depot. Once my dad and I were back at home, he ordered me to my room and unscrewed and confiscated my light bulbs so I'd have to sit in the dark meditating on what I'd done.
Oh, that's weird.
I was visited shortly by my Aunt Dora, who tried to sweet-talk some sense into me. At that moment, I didn't care. I'd had it with the school, the family, the whole 10-cent dog and pony show that was fucked up Freehold, New Jersey. A week later, I walked in the school administration's office and picked up my diploma.
Bruce!
So that was
never
Bruce's
looked back.
High school graduation. Yeah, I know. Huh? Yeah, Doug Springsteen is not the nicest guy.
He's a weird guy. Really weird. Well, he was mental. Huh. He had a series of mental issues, right?
Yeah, he was an alcoholic too. He drank every night. They had no phone too. That comes.
There's
up.
Something what? Wrong with that?
No, no phone. Oh, I'll explain that. I'll let Bruce explain it. It's brief. Let's see.
No phone though. Really?
No phone.
Be kind of nice.
No rotary dial.
It would be kind of nice. I agree. It would be kind of nice.
Not having a phone would be great.
Back then, though.
Yeah, they'll find you if they need you. Right?
That's
Messenger?
Some, yeah.
Sure.
They'll find you. If they really need you, they'll find you.
My bird.
Right.
That summer was a drag. Two horrible events occurred that summer. The first was a massive heartbreak when my trusty girlfriend dumped me for screwing around with an old ex of mine. Struck with the immediate case of buyer's remorse, I spent the rest of my summer pursuing her through the beach towns of Central Jersey. Filled with angst. Can you imagine Bruce losing his girlfriend?
And raging
spending
after
the whole summer trying to get back together. I cruised the teen clubs with my prep school road buddies, Sunshine, Kruger, Bird, and Jay. We traveled in a Batmobile, an old black caddy that belonged to one of the guys. These are the boys in that summer. They saved my life. We cruised the Jersey Shore top down, soothing my selfishly broken heart. They dumped me off in the wee wee hours back in Freehold. My house would be completely locked down, so I climb in the lattice work by the kitchen onto the side roof, pushing in the fan that was in my bedroom window to be greeted by my dad in his boxers. Oh. Irish skin, white as a polar bear's. In the dawn, wielding a plunger ready to beat the hell out of an early morning cat burglar come to steal his riches. I taped the shades down in my room, sleep through the day, and come night, I'd continue my poo-faced vigil. This all culminated with my catching up to my girl one early fall night as she returned from her summer at the beach. I professed undying love, told her my dream that we would be someday visiting Disneyland together, and she let me down as easy as she could, but I knew I was screwed. Also that summer, the first drug bust in the history of Freehold, New Jersey occurred. I was standing on the street next to my phone booth outside the corner newsstand. This is the booth I'd spent countless high school hours in through snow, sleet, rain, and sweltering heat. Each night you could find me ensconced there romancing my current love interest. My father refused to allow a phone in our home. No phone, no phone bill.
Well, that's good logic.
No phone, they can't call you for extra duty if someone else is a no-show at the job.
That's what it really was.
Yeah. Yep. Once planted at the kitchen table, my dad truly did not want the furious flights of his imagination, fueled by Mr. Schaefer, disturbed. No phone. Oh, the big drug bust, by the way, is three members of his band got busted. And so that was the end of the Castiles.
Oh, boy. Well, that's good. That was fate taking a hand.
Yeah. It was.
So the E Street Band could be formed.
Booth Bigdane and the E Street Band. There's one more cool story here about his guitar. This is a funny story. In 68, hard rock and psychedelic blues trios had superseded the beat groups. I always forget that, how big Clapton and Hendrix were in terms of the style. You know, you had all these British bands and the British invasion and the Americans trying to catch up. And then, boom, here comes Cream, who were so big. Cream's impact cannot be overestimated. Cream was huge.
Still immensely cool.
Still, yeah, absolutely.
Day.
They just did a reunion thing, and people, you couldn't get tickets to it.
Yeah.
Cream with Clapton and the Jimi Hendrix Experience were having hit records. Long, intense, blues-drenched jams were the order of the day, and I was ready. I'd been over to see a friend of Texas, an ex-Marine, who said he had a guitar collecting dust in his closet. On my visit, he pulled out an unstrung, hollow-bodied Gibson with the longest neck I'd ever seen. I brought it home, cleaned it up, and strung it. It was a strange piece. My guitar strings barely reached around its distant, oversized tuning pegs. When I plugged it into my Dan Electro amp, magic! The thick, chunky sound of Eric Clapton's psychedelic painted SG came ripping out of me. The Sunshine of Your Love guitar sound flooded my little practice room, and I was transported into another league. Nobody down in New Jersey was getting this kind of guitar tone. My Gibson had only one pickup, and the frets were awfully far from one another, but the sound, bring on all comers. After Castiles, I found a bassist, John Graham, and a drummer, Michael Burke, whom I enjoyed playing with. They were well-versed in the techniques it took to play as a three-piece. We rehearsed a little and started gigging immediately. From the beginning, we wowed the locals. For this new sound, we were the only game in town. I'm trying to get to the part about the guitar. Blah, blah, blah. One night, some kid who knew his guitars shed some light on the miracle in my Miracle Gibson. He walked up and congratulated me on the brilliant idea of stringing an old Gibson six-string bass with guitar strings and playing it as a solo instrument. I nodded coolly while thinking, holy shit, it's a six-string bass. I'd been soloing like a madman for months on a bass guitar! No wonder its sound was so thick and its fretboard so impossible. It worked.
Wow. Yeah. He discovered that?
He thought it was a six-string guitar, and so he said he had trouble getting the strings around because they were too short.
Yeah.
But it turned out it was a six-string bass.
He writes like he's modern day Shakespeare or something.
No, it's I like
everything
the way,
has
I,
this.
It's really cool. It's really fun, and I found I could jump in anywhere and find a good story. So I'll have to find some place to really start reading. But Born to Run is the book, of course. And I mentioned, I don't know if I said this on the air, did I? That how Born to Run came to be.
No.
Mm-mm.
He had was the guitar riff, dun 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 dun, and Tramps Like Us, Baby, We Were Born to Run.
Oh, yeah.
And he loved that Born to Run. He felt like he'd seen it somewhere or heard it somewhere, but he knew that was a...
Just the phrase?
And Tramps Like Us.
Yeah.
So he said he'd mumble the words all the time until he got to Tramps Like Us. And then, of course, the words came later, but all he had originally was the riff and Tramps Like Us, Baby, We Were Born to Run.
That's amazing construction. Like, I kind of wish I could do that, you know, like write a song.
I know.
I love reading about it.
Going around mumbling it and then.
Well, there's a lot of people have said that very thing, though, that they, you know, that when in the lines they didn't have, they would mumble until McCartney says that a lot, how he filled in things later.
Yeah, but where you have the harmony along. And then, yeah. Right.
Yeah. In fact, you can hear, there's one, I think it might be on YouTube. It's it was a bootleg and it just got up there. And it's McCartney, he's telling the band the chords, you know, and, you know, E into A, and there you can hear the band going along. And meanwhile, he's mumbling some words and saying other words, and it's just that he doesn't have the whole song, I guess. I think that's what's going on.
Uh-huh. Well, and I heard Steven Tyler talking about it, too, and how he was into, you know how he's into that stuff? And that's how he would construct a song. He'd put the music together first and scat the lyrics, and scat in the music way.
I know. Yeah. I remember this from the Aerosmith book, that Steve Tyler was renowned for never having lyrics ready. And they'd be going, Steve, do you have the words yet?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got them. I'm almost there. And he really had nothing. He just carried this notebook around, and they'd even like look at the notebook and they'd just see doodles and, you know, drawings and stuff, but no words.
Yeah.
And so they would really just have to just almost strangle him to get words out of him. And then finally, when they were in the studio, they were literally like 10 minutes away from going in, and they'd see him like scribbling something in the hall. He'd be sitting down against the wall and trying to come up with something. He always waited till the last minute and drove him crazy.
And that's how he made those incredible hits.
Usually worked out, but towards, I think around...
That's how I do stuff too.
I know a lot of people can't work without the pressure of that last minute stuff, but it got to be a little too much when Aerosmith came back and Dude Looks Like a Lady, and what was that record?
Permanent Vacation?
Yeah, that was a huge record. Well, the first
Permanent
couple,
Vacation was the first one back, then Pump.
Permanent Vacation, right. Pump, and then I think maybe the next one. It got to be so annoying that they insisted on bringing in other writers not just push him, but to help him and to even write some songs and submit them.
All right.
Then that song from Armageddon, didn't David Foster write that?
The Aerosmith song?
I don't want to close my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of those are submitted to them.
Yeah.
Did Diane Warren write a song for Aerosmith?
Oh, maybe it's that song. Maybe she wrote that one.
I mean, isn't that horrible to think that Diane Warren wrote a song for Aerosmith? That bothers me.
And I don't even like those songs, so.
No, I don't like them
either. My favorite one was Get Your Wings.
Oh, Get Your Wings is so good.
Best.
They could have, in my world, they could have retired after Get Your Wings and we wouldn't have missed that much.
Yeah.
Because that's
funny, because I came to age with like Permanent Vacation and Pump and
But
Alicia Silverstone videos for Crazy and is it Angel?
Oh, was
yeah, those Angel.
Are, those are great songs.
So I hated those songs because I loved Seasons of Wither.
That's a great song.
Toys in the Attic.
But I grew up, you know.
Seasons of Wither, Jay? Seasons of Wither?
That might be their best song.
That song?
Yeah, Seasons of Wither.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Man, he really works his voice in that.
Yeah.
Diane Warren, I don't want to miss. You don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss a thing.
I don't want to miss. I'll miss that.
Yeah, I could miss that too. That was a bummer too. And those were hits. They got a lot of radio play.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that
hits,
think that's Aerosmith. That's not Aerosmith.
It's the live version.
Yeah, Wings has a cool cover.
Yeah,
it's got so many good songs on it.
I saw them at the Cleveland World Series of Rock.
Oh, I saw him in the World Series of Rock, too.
Yeah. And he's like way far away, but I could tell because the windmilling of the scarves.
No More, No More. Yeah, from Toys in the Attic.
Oh, yeah.
No More, No More is a great song.
Yeah, that's that album, too.
Do you know No More, No More, Mark? Do you know that song?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Okay. I've seen him in concert a couple times. No More.
No More.
Yeah. Wither.
God, they look so young on the album cover. Wow.
Joe Perry is so ugly, and now he's handsome. How'd that happen?
Joe Perry does look about 30 to me sometimes when I look at him.
And there he is. That's amazing guitar work, too. I mean, he's...
All I think of Joe Perry from the early days is that horrible girlfriend of his. I don't know if you read much about her, but no. I mean, she basically almost broke the band up. Well, she kind of did break the band up over spilled milk. It was literally spilled milk.
What?
Yeah, it was a backstage thing, and
how stupid.
It's a long story, but it's pretty funny.
He's among the great guitar players, isn't he? Or?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh really? Oh, that's a great tune.
Well, I so
which
remember.
Which one? I can hear him.
Walk This Way.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Walk This Way. Got
like
it.
Like when Run DMC did it.
Run DMC, yeah, it was great.
Oh, that
was Aerosmith's comeback. That was part of their comeback,
and,
really.
And the beginning
that's
of
how
the fusion.
I first learned that song.
And the beginning of the fusion of rap and rock.
Yeah, pretty much.
Trudy, who else was with Aerosmith at the World Series of Rock and Roll when you saw him?
I think Ted Nugent was there. And I, for some reason, maybe I'm rolling them all together in my head, was the Faces?
Oh,
like
Faces?
Rod Stewart?
No kidding. Yeah. Wow. Because they played with different bands, but Aerosmith was the one thing that was always on. Aerosmith? God, who else is...
I think Ted Nugent was early in the day. And I
think Ted Nugent was with him when I saw him, too.
He wore that white leotard. And it looked smudgy.
Did you go to the World Series of Rock, the next World Series of Rock with the Eagles?
No, I didn't go to that one. I had to kind of make my own... transportation, so
I hate that name because I expect there to be a winner out of the World Series of Rock. Did anyone, who won? It's like a stupid
the headliners,
name.
I guess. I don't know.
it's not a competition, though.
With my cousin, though, and what did he do? He dropped, he was doing speed or something like that.
Sweet.
And then driving home, and I remember being scared to death. Shane is driving, oh no!
Speed.
I'm going to die.
Hey, was it possible that Jeff Beck was with Aerosmith?
It could have been.
Because I was at the World Series of Rock in Comiskey Park, and Jeff Beck was playing when the stadium caught on fire.
Oh, wow.
And... I can't decide if Jeff Beck was with the Eagles version of the World Series of Rock or the Aerosmith. But
I don't know. I
whatever.
Think it may have been with the Eagles because I don't remember him being, but they could have changed acts.
Yeah, they did.
Depending on what city.
And you know who was in one of those shows was Gary Wright, was the opener. Dreamweaver was like just out. I'm not kidding. Dreamweaver and My Love Is Alive.
What happened when Dreamweaver played then?
That show is over.
Done.
See ya.
Closer.
Everybody's asleep, and they just they left the stage, and
the
we woke up in time for the next act. All right, I think we've satisfied the part two people.
Remember when?
Yeah.
Hour and 27.
Remember the '80s?
Remember the '90s? Yeah, but remember the '80s.
South Park. So remember fun. Berries.
God, they're
oh yeah.
You gotta watch that episode.
Three episodes.
That was a new episode with the Remember Berries.
That is my recommendation.
That's the one I saw.
They've been in every episode.
Oh, they have. Okay.
Season
at least the last two.
Maybe it's not the episode I saw.
It's a really good one, though.
The last episode had the debate.
I didn't see that one. I did record it, though, so I got to
the douche versus the turd sandwich.
Yeah, Mr. Garrison, who's Trump, is basically trying to give the election away, but she won't take it.
I saw it. And every time he says, I suck and I'm this and that, and they cheer wildly. Yeah.
And she's like, he's a liar. Don't listen to him.
So funny.
I saw that episode.
And he's, oh, my God, why does it have to be her?
That show is – how does that show stay so fresh, brilliant,
because
and topical?
They write it and right before it airs.
That's a great documentary. Documentary, like 6 days to air, I think it's called.
Yeah. Is it 6 days ago they wrote that episode?
Well, that's the episode
6 days before it airs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
They admit they have kind of like the idea for the whole season beforehand, but that's why they can
insert the idea for the whole season though. When you know you're going to pounce on things as they happen.
Well, because the overall theme of the season is trolls and trolling and. In Twitter in general.
Yeah, PC principal is...
Yeah, he's still back.
Oh, God, I know.
It's questioning. Love it. Stan and Kyle and Butters about the death of Cartman.
His Twitter.
Cartman is no longer on social media, so he's dead.
Was it a suicide or was it a murder? Because he didn't leave a message behind that he was leaving social media.
Oh, my God. So there's so much to it. You really have to watch it.
So good.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right, everybody, have a good one, and tomorrow's Friday. I don't know. I haven't talked to LaDuff about Friday yet, so I don't know. Keep your eye on Twitter or Facebook, and you'll find out, or just look for the posting. And don't forget, my house is getting crazy. It's been kind of sleepy for the last 24 hours or so, but it'll be up tweeting again, I bet, tonight. So heads up for @RedShovelStudio. My house is on Twitter. It's ridiculous. I don't know what to say about it. It's kind of embarrassing because my house is a real asshole. Really called me a pussy a couple times already in tweets.
What's it like to live in an asshole, Drew?
It's a drag. I mean, it's been difficult enough as it is with all the problems.
Real dirty.
But to know that its attitude is so shitty, it makes it even worse.
Tight squeeze.
Yeah, it is tight. It's not a big house either. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. But everybody have a good one.
It's easier to go out than to go in.
Definitely.
See you tomorrow.
See ya!